try to condense this down. About 4 years ago, I came across this principle, and there were two principles that when I started thinking about these, when the Lord really started showing things to me and revealing things to me, I just thought, this just changes everything. Do you ever have those moments when you realize God shows you something and all of a sudden the playing pitch is completely different? The goalposts are different. Everything is different. And this is one of those things. And the way I would describe it is there were two life-changing kingdom principles that I came across, that God showed me, and this is one of them. And so what I'm hopeful about this morning is that I can communicate some way the thoughts that I've had and the things that I've studied and learned over the last number of years, because I would hope that it would be equally life-changing for you. And if it's not, well, I'm sorry. I hope I don't bore you for the next few minutes. But Jesus said, and there's a few times when you read something and you kind of go, what do they mean there? What's Jesus trying to say there? But he said one time, he said it in John chapter 16, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, "I have more to say, but you cannot bear it now." And that's one of those passages, you know, like when you're just reading and you just kind of read through things and you read it and things are just so familiar. But this time I read it and it was something that just, the brakes went on. Go back and read that again. And I couldn't get off of that phrase. "I have more to say to you, but you can't bear it now." And I immediately started doing this, this curiosity thing. What do you mean? Why can't I bear it now? Okay, you were saying this to your disciples. What couldn't they bear? Well, what about me now? What can I bear? And so I started going through this whole process of, God, what more do you have to say? Jesus, you've John chapter 16, like chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are incredible chapters where Jesus is really laying out how he is the Father and the Father is him, and he loves us the way Jesus loves us, the way God loves him, and therefore through that, it's all of this intricate, intimate details about who we are in our position in Christ. And all of it is so profound, books and commentaries are written on those four chapters. So these four chapters of Jesus's talking to his disciples have consumed the brightest theological minds for centuries. But yet Jesus still says, "I have more to say that you cannot bear." And when you're eating popcorn, and it's gorgeous popcorn, but you get a little kernel that just stuck in your teeth, and it just annoys you, you can't get it out. Well, that was my kernel stuck in my tooth for months, and it was just eating at me, and just like, God, what is this? What is this? What are you trying to say? And then I came across, reading some of Jesus' words, and the way he spoke to Nicodemus. Do you remember this in John chapter 3, when he's talking to Nicodemus? And I won't go there because, like, that whole section again is stuff that is just powerful, and we could get sidetracked on one phrase, and I'd probably start going off on a completely different topic, which wouldn't be helpful. But he said to Nicodemus, he said, "If I speak about things relating to your earthly kingdom and you don't understand, then how are you going to understand when I speak about things from my kingdom?" And again, I thought, what more does Jesus have that he's trying to get us to realize, to open up to? And this is the essence of it. I think, now this is me personally here, I think that we have only begun to barely scratch the surface in the truth of God's kingdom that he really wants us to know about. Now, I'm not saying that there's more to add to Scripture. I'm not saying that at all. Scripture is the complete revealed Word of God. But I think there is so much more in Scripture that we haven't pulled out. I think that what Jesus has done is he's dropped secrets within the Scriptures. And he's dropped secret principles about his kingdom within the Scriptures that we still haven't captured yet. Do you know when Paul talks about there's the milk of the word and then the meat of the word? Do you know that? Sometimes what I think is that we in the Western world, in our Western Christian churches, that we have become accustomed to some of the milk is easy to drink. And we've become accustomed to, you know, maybe there's a good sirloin steak or a nice T-bone every now and again. But sometimes I think we do a bit of the casserole. You know, where there's a bit of meat there, but it's also, there's a lot of cream and there's a lot of, you know, stuff that makes it nice and tasty. Do you see the picture I'm trying to paint? Sometimes I think we get very comfortable with things that we understand, things that we think we know. And we've learned, and God has told us, and there's been a revelation, and we've grabbed a hold of that. And I'm not saying that that's bad in any way, but I suppose what I'm trying to say is, I think there's so much more. I think there's a whole lot more. And one of the things that I've begun to, you know, try to pull this together, because again, like, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. But there have always been phrases and promises in the Scripture. And have you ever taken those and has anybody just gone through and made a list of all the promises that Scripture has? Whether it's a promise for future fulfillment, or it's, you know, it's one of these mad phrases. Like Ephesians 4 at one point talks about how when all of the body of believers is working together and everybody's using their gifts to equip each other, they use the phrase that when that is happening and when that's working, that as Christians, we will all attain the whole measure of the fullness of God. Does that just blow your mind? The whole measure of the fullness of God. Hello. We will attain the whole measure of the fullness of God.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Like, God, we sung about him. He's indescribable. He's uncontainable. He's unfathomable. He knows, he puts the stars in place and he knows them by name. If you send a spaceship out and it travels light years, light years, light years, and it's still not going to reach the furthest planet in our solar system that we know of, it's going to take how many years before the space station is going to reach Pluto, which may not be a planet anymore, but like years. That God said he wants to dwell in us. And then we can attain the whole measure of his fullness. Did you hear that? There's still confidence right there, doesn't it? But then he says, there's other promises that, like, I just, greater works than these you shall do. Like, greater works than what Jesus did. Okay, so that's another one. Again, Jesus came to give us life to the full, abundant life. Abundant, like, do we live that? How do we live in that? We're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We now, not like when we die, but Paul says now we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. These are realities that Scripture has given us. And I mean, for me, these are just, they're tantalizing. They're out there. They raise my curiosity. They create something in me that says, I want that now. But do we as a church, do we as a Western church, do we as people, do we live in this reality? Why not? Why don't we? Jesus used imagery, and he used stories all the time in telling people about his kingdom. And all of the things of the parables, you know, when Jesus says, what is the kingdom of God like? And he tells a story about the kingdom of God is like a buried treasure and a man sells all he has. And he goes, the kingdom of God is like the lost coin where the woman gives up everything to find that coin. The kingdom of God is like a shepherd who goes after his sheep. Okay, we're all on the same page. The people, there were some who understood, some who made fun of him, some who became curious. And what did Jesus say often at the end of his parable or during his parable? He who has an ear, let him hear. What do you think Jesus was doing? He was putting a story in an everyday context so that everyday people could understand as a story. But then he was dropping secrets. He was dropping secrets, secret revelation about his kingdom in those stories. And even the disciples didn't get it half the time. In Mark 4, the disciples come to him and they say, please explain to us about this parable. And Jesus said something, now sorry, I should have had you turn there, but in Mark 4:11, if you just kind of track that or if you want to look it up there, Mark 4:11, Jesus said to his disciples now, he said, to you, it has been given the secrets of my Father's kingdom. My Father has given to you the secrets, the knowledge of the secrets of his kingdom. Even then, so Jesus was explaining the things to the disciples. He was explaining the parables so that they could grasp it. But even the disciples, even after Jesus explained them, how many times did they still not get it? Now this would be appropriate now. There it is. So they still didn't get it half the time. Even though Jesus took the time to explain it, they still didn't get it. They were so distracted by their expectations of what they wanted Jesus to be, who they thought that he was going to become, this kingdom. They had all their preconceptions about who Jesus was and what he was telling them, that they often missed the real message. They might have been curious for some of the secrets, but they weren't hungry for them. And sometimes I wonder, do we get a little bit curious at times? But do we really stay hungry? Are we hungry enough to pursue the secrets of the kingdom? Are we really? I have more to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Get the kernel out of that. Because Jesus speaks in language that we know because he understands that we're just dust. But if it's hard for us to capture the truth behind or the truth within what he's saying, then how are we going to understand when he wants to start speaking to us about his kingdom? Do you know when you have those seasons in life when like you're walking with God and like everything is just really close and really intimate and you're hearing his voice and it's all very clear and there's just this, you know, this warm fuzzy thing and you just feel it and you know it and you're just, everything is just boom, it's clicking into place and you're having times of prayer. Do you know those times? Okay, maybe they were a long time ago and we need to bring them back. But then you face that other season where it's just everything is, you just feel like, you know, when you're walking in mud and you're, you know, your feet are pulling out of your wellies because the mud just sucks your wellies down so deep, you know, that kind of trudge, and it's just, life is tough and it's hard, and you feel like you're praying and the prayers are just, they're not even coming out of your mouth, let alone bouncing off a wall back to you. Do you know those kind of... Sometimes I think, now this is, again, this is me now. Sometimes I think when we get into those positions, we tend to think that God has forgotten us or left us or he's not interested anymore or he's waiting for us to jump through a few hoops so that we can be holy enough that we can have that intimacy again. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know if anybody else thinks like that. But one of the things, now again, this is, you know, going back to this 4 year ago time, he'd kick me if he heard me say this, but my Dara, my oldest, we were taking him through a series of, okay, we want you now to learn a bit more responsibility, so, you know, you're a bigger boy now, you know, all of these things. So we've taken him to the shops, and now, look, this is the milk we buy, this is the color of cap, and this is how much it costs, and, you know, we go up and pay the lady, and, you know, we give this much money and probably give change back, these kinds of things. So one day, I pull up to the shop, and it's just he and I in the car, so I pull up to the shop and say, okay, Dara, here's the money, I need you to go in and get a 2 liter thing of milk. Oh, okay. And, you know, you could see him start kind of go, okay, which color cap is it again? And, you know, so he's doing all of this stuff. And I just watch, you know, as he goes, and he walks a little bit slower up to the shop. But he comes back, he did fine. You know, he got the milk, and, you know, he got the right change, and he comes back. And I said to him, now, we live just quite close. He could walk to the shop, but we were on the way back home. So I said to him, next time maybe, if we're at home, we'll just send you, and you can walk to the shop, and you can get it. His very next comment was, do you know my friend Jonathan? When he turns 12, his mommy and daddy said he could go on a bus with his friend and his brother and go into Dublin all by himself. And to me, what that said was, this whole thing about responsibility and learning and growth, this is a natural thing. This is a natural development, isn't it? You know, you're at work, you do something well, so your boss recognizes it, gives you a little bit more responsibility. This is just part of life. So why would we think that God would treat us any different? So we're in these times of real intimate communication, real God's telling us things, we're praying for things, we're asking big things. Remember last week, we're asking for big things. God says, okay, off you go. I want you to have those things. Off you go. And then we realize that we're out here because we've asked for it and he's given us the push and shove and off you go. And then all of a sudden, we come back all in this self-focused state of confusion and frustration, and God, where are you? And think blaming him because he's left us when he's actually said, come on, I want you to grow into what you've asked for. How hungry are we for the secrets? How hungry are we, really? I have more to say, but you cannot bear them now. Because sometimes we're looking for something that's going to fit into our understanding. Do you know what we were talking about earlier about this, you know, the milk and the meat and the casserole? Sometimes we want things in a nice, neat, tidy little box because we can understand. And sometimes when we start talking about pursuing secrets and when we start talking about these big promises and it can, gee, you know, is that for the millennium? Can we experience that now? We start, you know, is that safe? Can we go that direction? Well, sometimes I think if we understand everything about God, then he probably looks a lot like us. Like, can we really understand everything about God? Can we put him in a box? No. Jesus said he gives us the peace that passes understanding. Well, if we're going to have a peace that passes understanding, then don't we have to be willing to give up our right to understand? So there, again, there, this secret, this thing that God has said, there is so much more. How do we pursue that? How do we grab a hold of that? How do we really look for that? And this was another passage that just, again, just was reading, and if you have the Bibles, I'll ask you to turn to Proverbs. Because this one is where the kernel, you know, I was the toothpick that I was just able to pull that kernel out of my tooth, and all of a sudden relief. Proverbs chapter 25. You see, God, God loves to hide stuff. See, he's got these secrets sprinkled all throughout Scripture. He's got these little principles that are stuck in there, these promises that are hidden within bigger topics. He loves to hide stuff. But he doesn't hide stuff from us. But he hides stuff for us. He loves to hide stuff for you so that you can go find it. Easter's coming up. You know, how many's gone on the Easter egg hunt with the kids? Do you know the time, you know, and when the kids are really small? Really small, and you kind of hide something in plain sight, and it's only as they get older that you kind of start, you know, making it a little bit more challenging, a little more difficult. Do you know, God loves to watch us search for his kingdom, search for his truth, search for his principles. He loves to see us search. It's not in a, you know, I'm keeping you at arm's length and come on, come on, come on. There's no mocking, there's no teasing, there's none of that. That's not who God is. It's not his nature. But sometimes he wants to be sure, are you really hungry for that? When you've asked for that prayer, do you really mean it? And we see that all through Scripture. We see that, remember the Roman centurion who came and he, you know, asking, Jesus, would you please come and heal my servant? Jesus wasn't, like, his role was to go to the Jews first. He didn't go to the Samaritans. He didn't go to the Syrophoenicians. He didn't go to the Romans. He came to talk to the Jews first. The Roman, what did he see? He saw that Jesus could do something for his friend. So Jesus says, no, it's not. He says, I'm here for these guys. And he says, no, please. And so Jesus says, okay. And remember, what did Jesus say? He said, I have not seen such great faith, you know, when the Roman centurion, and when the Syrophoenician woman, when she came and she said, please, will you heal my daughter? And he says, and he, you know, it sounds like it's a really harsh, cruel thing that Jesus said. Well, you know, the food is on the table and the scraps, you know, we don't give the scraps to the dogs. And she says, yes, but even the dogs, will eat the scraps from your table. So she saw that there was something about what Jesus had to offer. He saw that she had a hunger, a faith, an expectation for what God's kingdom had, so he gave it. So it goes back to a few weeks ago. It wasn't the time, it became the time. They were hungry for it, Jesus gave it. Are we really hungry? Are we really hungry? Because he hides stuff for us. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it's the glory of what? Yeah, the second phrase. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. You see, he loves to put something out there for us to be hungry enough that we're going to search for, that we're going to be hungry enough to put off all the other stuff that clutters our minds and clutters our lifestyle so that we can pursue him. He wants to see, are we really, truly going to pursue him? more than the stuff that he gives? Are we going to pursue him? And when we are really hungry and we really search for him, we leave the comfort zone, don't we? We leave that comfort zone and we sacrifice. We're willing to pay the price to pursue him and his kingdom. So God loves to hide stuff. He does. He's a good God, and he will give good gifts to his children. But sometimes he gets more glory by not making it easy. Now that's counterintuitive, problems, with the struggles with that, but he gets more glory when we pursue, because it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. So our royalty, aren't we a royal priesthood? Isn't that what Scripture says? Aren't we a royal nation? Isn't that what Scripture says? Aren't we a kingdom of priests? Isn't that what Scripture says? Aren't we co-laborers with God? Doesn't Scripture say that? Are we ambassadors of the King? Aren't we? Yeah. Are we children of the Most High God? So our royalty is defined in our pursuit of him. Our royalty as children, as kings, as priests, is defined in our pursuit of the secret things of his kingdom. It's who we are. It's who we are. So how do we recognize this? How do we pursue these things? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's the Father's pleasure to give you his kingdom." Luke 12, it's the Father's pleasure to give you the secrets of the kingdom. So don't be afraid. So if this challenge, this pursuit, this hidden things, if this is a bit of a struggle, don't be afraid. Don't let it build anxiety. Don't let it be something else to tack on to the busyness of life. Because it's God's good pleasure to give you the secrets of his kingdom. And what, Jesus said, seek first what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So if we seek him, doesn't he promise that he will be found by us? If we seek him, we will find him. If we seek him with what? All our hearts, yeah. There's another passage I'd like you to look at. You're in Proverbs. If you just flip across to Jeremiah chapter 33, I don't have the page number written down. So if you just go forward a little bit from Proverbs to Jeremiah. Sorry? 795? Page 795. Jeremiah chapter 33. And verse 3, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. God, this is God speaking. And he says, "Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." The NIV there might say great and hidden things that you do not know. So what are hidden things that you don't know? Could that be a secret? Maybe? So, if we are willing to seek, God says we will find him. God loves to hide stuff. It's his glory to do so. And as he does, as we pursue, we learn more of who we are. Our royalty is defined in our pursuit. So we might be super, super, super hungry for something. And we might think that we're ready, ready, ready. But sometimes it's the pursuit that prepares us for the promise that we've asked for. Because sometimes, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, sometimes we're not as ready as we think we are. And it's that pursuit that refines us. It's the pursuit that helps us mentally, intellectually, spiritually, to be ready for what he has for us. But in the pursuit, that's where our royalty is defined. And in the pursuit, he says, I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. Because it's my pleasure to give you the secrets of the kingdom. So, some of these secrets, some of these principles of the kingdom, what I'm hoping for is that the next few weeks, that we'll spend a bit of time looking at some of these principles of the kingdom, some of these things that Jesus has revealed about his kingdom, that sometimes we might just kind of forget, or we get used to things, and so we're just going to, it's not a back to basics kind of a thing. Well, in some ways it might be. But really what we're trying to do is look at some of these principles that Jesus has given us about his kingdom, about his Father's nature, about who he is. So next week we're going to be looking at how good God is, God's goodness. And it might just be too much for 1 week, so we might have to look at it for 2 weeks. Just maybe. But God wants to give us more than what? More than we can ask or imagine. He wants to give us more than we can ask or imagine. So sometimes when we start coming across these promises in the scripture, and it's that little nugget of a secret promise, he's only whetting our whistle. He's only tantalizing us. He's teasing us. Because there's so much more. There's so much more. We pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are a good God. And we give you honor that's due. We give you the praise that's due. And God, we thank you for the promises that you've given us in Scripture. And God, we ask that we would have such a hunger for you, that nothing else would satisfy that hunger. That we would be so driven to seek you and to seek your face, that nothing else would satisfy. That nothing would get in the way. That our hearts would burn with a passion and a desire to know you. That our minds would be free. Free and clear to think your thoughts, to learn your ways, that we might know you. God, that the prayer of the psalmist would be on our hearts, that the one thing we ask, the one thing we desire, this is what we seek, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life and gaze upon his beauty and to seek him in his temple. God, let that one desire reign in our minds and in our hearts. And God, help us to pursue you. And when there's questions that come, when there's anxiety that comes, God, give us a sense of your pleasure, that you're not hiding things from us, you're not hiding yourself from us, but God, you've hidden things to see how hungry we are. You've hidden things for us to shape us. We thank you, God, for all of these things. Amen.